As I look past, look back over the 39 to 40 years of my ministry, our congregation has always been blessed with a lot of musical talent. And I can remember when we had the small mission up in Duluth, and there was a large church in the city of Duluth that was advertising in the church every Sunday for an organist. And we at Shepherd of the Hills had three of them, total membership of about 25. And one of them was a concert organist, if ever there was one. The blessings has continued here at Little Water of Life, where we have so much musical talent. And we have right now, this is a surprise number, written by some of our members, April Showers. I'd like to welcome all of you here to Nature Retreat 14. And they say the older you get, the faster time flies, and it certainly is true for me. It doesn't seem like that many years ago that we met for the very first time, and now we're 14 years later. As I look back on the previous 13 nature retreats, every single time we've been blessed with just beautiful weather. But you know, there's a clinker in the outfit sooner or later, and so here today, what terrible weather we're having. I wanted snow because we're going to be studying for snowflakes, and I prayed about this, and all we've got is the sunshine and little few white fluffy clouds. I was upset, admittedly, when I got here, and I made a phone call, but it was not God's fault. But have you ever, you know this, you make a phone call and you end up talking to a computer. I hate that. But it seems like heaven is computerized also. I called the complaint department. I got a computer.
What is your name?
Larry Cooper.
Where are you calling from?
Trempealeau, Wisconsin.
What is your complaint?
I ordered snow, and all we've got is sunshine and blue sky.
Wait 1 minute, please.
I waited. Then the voice came. You said Trempealeau, Wisconsin? So there is snow in Trempealeau somewhere. Some Trempealeau is getting inundated today. But I guess I didn't specify Wisconsin. So we're going to have to make the best of this. I just had a thought hit me during the past week or two that really I'd never come to before. And I'm wondering if the same might be true of you. The earliest memories I have of my childhood, the three earliest memories, involve nature. In no particular order. One was a thunder and lightning storm with rain pouring down. One was a hailstorm. And another was a snowstorm. These are the three earliest memories that I have. And maybe some of that is due to the fact that I grew up in this area, which is loaded with intense natural beauty. And I spent much of my early years out in the woods and on the river and on the lakes and in the marshes. And I developed a tremendous love for nature, and this translated itself into my study of Scripture. I just love the passages in Scripture that deal with nature. And I remember going out in a snowstorm in the woods, and you feel kind of like the pioneers must have felt. The fields are all white, the woods are all white, and you're the first one making tracks there. It's like you're the first one that's ever been there. It's really a neat feeling. Well, we're looking at snowflakes this evening, and one of the outstanding things about them is that they come down from heaven. They could almost sing, "From heaven above to earth I come." And the passage in Job, which admittedly is the oldest book in Scripture, Job 38, verse 22, and that's what it should be in your foldout there, not 32, but verse 22. "Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow?" That is a fascinating thought. The treasures of the snow. Jumping ahead a little bit. Snowflakes, every single one of them, have six sides. And six is the number of man. And when you think of the passage, "Hast thou entered into the treasures of snow?" You can't help but think of the perfect man, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We'll get into that a little later. A previous chapter, Job 37, verses 5 and 6, "God thundereth marvelously with his voice. Great things doeth he, which we cannot comprehend. For he saith to the snow, be thou upon the earth." Fascinating words, "which we cannot comprehend." Of course, Job was written thousands of years ago, and we've accomplished an awful lot since then, haven't we? Science has grown in leaps and bounds. But listen to the words of a man who has his doctorate in physics and who has spent much of his life studying tiny little snowflakes. Quote, "Even today, at the beginning of the 21st century, we cannot fully explain how snowflakes are created or why no two snowflakes are alike. The mystery remains unsolved. Old ancient Job, God thundereth marvelously with his voice. Great things doeth he which we cannot comprehend." The physicist again. So here we sit at the beginning of the 21st century, and we cannot explain exactly why snowflakes are what they are. Snowflakes are full of surprises, and there are still some fundamental aspects of snowflakes which we do not understand. A bit of mystery remains in these delicate ice structures. Fascinating, fascinating things. Can be called winter's secret beauty. We've all seen the snow-covered mountains, perhaps hiked in the bluffs here in Perot State Park, on the ski trails when the snow was so deep you couldn't venture off. But all of these snow-covered hills and bluffs comprised of little bitty snowflakes one at a time, each one exquisitely beautiful. Winter's secret beauty. A quote from a very famous man whose name you will recognize after I read the quote. "The most beautiful thing we can experience is the mysterious. It is the source of all true art and science. He to whom this emotion is a stranger, who can no longer pause to wonder and stand wrapped in awe, is as good as dead. His eyes are closed." Quote was from Albert Einstein. The mystery of the snowflakes. Winter's secret beauty. Some try to tell us what happened, but the explanations fall flat. I'll read a few of them. Snowflakes are made of ice, yet ice alone does not a snowflake make. Well, we all know that, I think. You could produce a million ice cubes in your freezer and not one of them would look even remotely as beautiful as a snowflake. Agree with that. Many people think snowflakes are made from frozen raindrops. This is not true. Raindrops sometimes do freeze in midair as they fall, but they're called sleet, not snowflakes. The mystery of snowflakes is how they are fashioned into such complex and symmetrical shapes. Snowflakes are the product of a rich synthesis of physics, mathematics, and chemistry. We sometimes are tricked into thinking we know something that we really don't. And it started for me back in kindergarten. The teacher promised us, "I'm going to show you how beans grow, so you're going to know how they grow." So she took jars, gave each one of us a jar, fill it full of rags, you know the procedure, put paper toweling around there, put water in the rags, and then put a bean between the glass jar and the paper towel. And you keep watering the thing every day, put it out on the windowsill in the sunshine, and pretty soon the bean seed starts to sprout. You see that, and then it grows and finally leaves the top of the glass. And every one of us in kindergarten thought that we knew how beans grew. Not true. We saw a little bit of how they grow, but that doesn't explain what happened. Just because you see something happen doesn't mean you can know what happens or understand what happens. There's a lot of things that we see. Science has given us microscopes and telescopes like the ancients never had, and we can see some things about certain things in science that maybe they couldn't have seen, but that doesn't mean we know how they happen. These are mysteries which we cannot comprehend. The key quote in what I read, the books I read on snowflakes, was this one. "So where is the creative genius capable of designing snow crystals in an endless variety of beautiful patterns? The creative genius lives in the ever-changing wind." this guy didn't realize what he was writing. Most of us know that the word wind in Scripture is the same word. It's translated spirit, the Holy Spirit. And Scripture says, by his spirit he hath garnished the heaven. And the very same spirit that threw the stars and the galaxies out there in the cosmos is the one who manufactures each and every one of these little snowflakes, each one with exquisite beauty no two ever have been found alike. I had wanted to do some snowflake watching today, but that's out of the picture. We don't have any snow. But snowflake watching is a lot like bird watching. It's been compared to that. You never know what you're going to see. And you've got to look very quickly because the snowflakes land and pretty soon all of a sudden they're gone. Parallel with bird watching, when we were over in Michigan, there was a man who gave a slide lecture on birds. He had spent most of his life taking pictures of birds. I don't know how many hundreds of slides he showed us that night. But the one I remember was the one he already built up and said, boy, this is a beautiful bird I'm taking a picture of here, and here's the picture. And he showed it, and it was a branch. There wasn't a thing on it. He said, well, there was a beautiful bird on there, but I snapped it just a little too late, and he was gone. And that's kind of the way it is with snowflakes. I believe that people have been fascinated by watching snowflakes ever since the first snowstorm fell. But in recent days, there are some that we're kind of indebted to. One is a woman called Frances Chickering, who published the first book in our era of snowflakes. It was called Cloud Crystals, A Snowflake Album. Now, she lived in Portland, Maine, where snow was not a happening, it was an occupation. We don't know a whole lot about her, but what we do know is instructive. She was the life of a minister, which explains why she had nothing to do but sit and watch snowflakes. No, wait a minute, I crossed that out. I wasn't supposed to read that. What I was supposed to say is that her husband had a calling in a place that was inundated with snow, and she made the best of it and studied these things. All she had was a little microscope, or magnifying glass rather, and she looked at these things and she drew images by memory after she'd seen them and finally published a book. And in her own words, she opened her eyes to find the grand and beautiful laboratory of nature before her. I suppose the most famous one for us is a man called Snowflake Bentley. As a little child, he was interested in weather. He kept records when he was 4 or 5 years old of weather patterns. And he became especially fascinated with snowflakes. He lived in Jericho, Vermont. Annual snowfall was about 120 inches. Homeschooled. And one day, when he was 16 years old, he read about a camera that had its own microscope. And he knew exactly what to do about that. He went to his mother and he said, if I had that camera, I could photograph snowflakes. 1 year later, his father emptied their account and bought the camera for him. I think he was 18 years old then, or 17. He started taking pictures. His first ones were failures, but he learned. He learned how to do it. And before long, colleges and universities were writing to him to send him plates of his snowflake pictures. Artists and other scientists and designers wanted them. And finally, when he was 60 years old, a bunch of scientists got together, raised some money, and published his works in a book. Sadly, within a few weeks later, he died. He was walking home through a snowstorm to take more pictures, got pneumonia, and he died. But we have his book here, beautiful, beautiful snowflakes. I don't have time to spend a lot of time, but each one of these is different, and pretty soon I'm going to go through all these pages. I'll talk 5 minutes on each one and show you the difference between all these. It won't take all that long. We should finish by about 1 o'clock in the morning. Or if you don't want that, you can come up and look at it after the service. But they are extremely beautiful. No two alike that we've ever found. His name was Snowflake Bentley. Let's see. A few quotes from this man. I can't afford to miss one single snowstorm. I never know when I will find a wonderful prize. The average dairy farmer gets up at dawn because he has to go to work in the cow yard. I get up at dawn too, but it is because I want to find some leaf hung with dew or a spider web which the dew has made into a most delicate rope of pearls. I take my camera with me, get down on my knees in the wet grass, and photograph these exquisite bits of nature. Because I do this, I can show these lovely things to people who never would have seen them without my help. They will get their daily quart of milk, all right. Other farmers will see to that. But I think that I am giving them something which is just as important. Now, a few amazing facts about snowflakes. Snowflakes are being manufactured in the atmosphere at an astounding rate, around 1 million billion crystals each second. That's fascinating to me. Every 10 minutes, that's enough snow to make an unstoppable army of snowmen, one for every person in the world. You know, this tells me something about God. God always does things perfectly. And every single snowflake that falls is exquisitely beautiful. And yet, how many of them, the vast majority, are never seen by a human being? They're never seen. But they're there. The glories of God, we can't even begin to imagine. All these snowflakes. The nurseries that produce these numbers of snowflakes are nothing more than clouds filling the sky on a winter day. One thing you will not find in nature is an eight-sided snowflake. I saw one just the other day. It was on a shirt. My wife had these shirts done for us, snowflakes on them, and the person that did them made some samples, and one had eight sides on. I said, this is not a snowflake. Well, why isn't it a snowflake? Because it's got eight sides. Well, so what about that? Well, snowflakes only have six sides. You're kidding. I don't know how many of you knew that. You probably all knew that. Snowflakes have six sides. Every single one of them. They do not have seven. They do not have eight. They do not have five. They have six. And six is the number of man. And again, I think they tell us a lot about the perfect man. From heaven above to earth I come. Is it really true? Question. By the physicist, is it really true that no two snowflakes are alike? As a local snow expert, I hear this question often. And then following, if two identical snowflakes did fall, how would you know? How can you say that there are no two snowflakes alike if you've never examined all of them? Which is kind of impossible, isn't it? I mean, there was snow falling thousands of years ago. Flakes that came and went, and we never saw them. There's no way we could. Even in our backyard, we couldn't see every snowflake if we tried. This is what his answer is. Although there is indeed a certain level of unknowability to the question of snowflakes being alike, as a physicist, I find that I can address this issue with confidence. A snow crystal might contain a billion billion water molecules, give or take a few, and we see that on average about 1 in 500 of these will be different from the norm. Furthermore, these rogue atoms will be randomly scattered throughout the crystal with many, many, many different possible configurations. Really, it's a mind-boggling number of possible configurations, more than all the protons and electrons in a million trillion universes like our own. It is mind-boggling. Thus, the probability that two snow crystals would have exactly the same layout of these molecules is utterly, vanishingly small. It could snow day and night until the sun dies before two snow crystals would be exactly precisely alike. Isn't this just like God? He doesn't crank out snowflakes like Ford cranked out cars. Every single one is unique. Every one. And the Son of God, the perfect man, who from heaven above showers blessings upon us without number. The sound of snow. What does snow sound like? Well, I suppose really, in a certain sense, it has no sound, at least that you can hear. You sit out in the woods and the snow comes down, you can't hear a thing. It's kind of silent. If you want to hear the sound of a snowflake, you've got to look in Scripture. And it does say something. Isaiah 55, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." The snow from heaven, the little snowflakes, are compared to the Word of God. And just as God has taken pains to make every single snowflake unique, each one coming from the hand of the Almighty God, so every word in Scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit. Tremendously comforting. It speaks of sin cover, Psalm 51. "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." Isaiah 1. "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow." The whole realm of human history has been involved in a war between the seed of the woman and the serpent. And the seed of the woman is the Son of God come down from heaven. From heaven above to earth I come. True God becoming true man to do battle with the devil. "Behold, your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." And one of the most intriguing and fascinating verses in all Scripture to me is found in 2 Samuel 23 verse 20. "And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts, slew two lion-like men of Moab." And now the kicker. "He went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in time of snow." For some reason, that verse is just fascinating to me. In time of snow, when there was deep snow on the ground and in the pit, and maybe even in the middle of a snowstorm, this guy went down into the pit and killed a lion. A snowflake, a picture of the perfect man, six-sided, and all the blessings that come to us through him. A tremendous thing.